I'm in every one of those videos. I did all that. Yeah, your church money at work. No, I'm just kidding. I just started rumors on Easter. That's not me, actually. I'd like to do some of that. Anybody else? Anybody crazy like me? I'd love to do it. Well, hey, listen, we are in a series. We're starting it today. You don't want to miss the next 4 weeks. We're going to talk about the limitless nature of God. How many of you know that we serve a limitless God? We serve a limitless God, and we're going to push on that for the next 4 weeks, so you don't want to miss. Do not want to miss. I don't know about you, but I do not respond well to limits. How many of y'all love speed limits? Raise your hand. How many of you dislike speed limits? There's the truth. Yeah. How about that? Hey, listen, I when I was a kid, I used to roller skate a lot. I loved roller skating, and one of the things that would happen whenever I'd go to the roller skating rink, initially, I would get the whistle blown at me all the time for skating too fast. You know what I'm saying? If you skated too fast, they blew the whistle at you. And you know what? So what I would do is I would wait till they would turn their back to me, and then I'd speed up. And then I got smart one day and I said, you know what? I could really cut this thing off at the pass if I just became the guy with the whistle. If I became the guy with the whistle, then I ain't got to worry about it. I can skate as fast as I want to. Anybody know what I'm saying? I just do not like limits. I don't know what it is. You know, Boudreaux and Thibodeau, if you don't know who they are, you haven't been here very long. They're two crazy Cajuns from Louisiana, all right? Boudreaux and Thibodeau, they're down in Louisiana, and they love to fish. And if you guys know where I'm coming from, I love to fish. I love to fish. And one of the things that bothers me is fishing has limits. Do you know that you can't keep a certain size of fish? You know, certain size. I know some of you are like, what? Yeah, I didn't know that. No, really. You're not supposed to keep, like, if it's a bass under 12 inches, you can't keep it in the state of Indiana and all that. And also, you know, crappie, you can only catch 25 crappie per day. Some of you didn't know that. Now I've educated you. You know, 25 crappie per day. And it's really a bummer because how many of you know they might not be biting tomorrow, but today I can catch 50. So you hate the limits that are on that. You hate the way it's limited. Well, Boudreaux and Thibodeau, they had the same problem. They were down in Louisiana and they were fishing. And all of a sudden, and they had got on them. I mean, they had got on the fishes, man. They catching fish like crazy. They got two coolers. And Boudreaux's like, man, we taking all these fish home today. So they got the cooler. They got two coolers full of fish. Guess who shows up? Game warden. Game warden walked down there, and Boudreaux said, I got this, man. I got this. This ain't no problem. He walked over, and the game warden said, hey, man, you guys fishing? He goes, no, sir. We not fishing. He said, you guys ain't fishing? He goes, you got all these fish in the cooler? He goes, yeah, we ain't fishing. He goes, you ain't fishing? He goes, no, these are my pets. He said, what? He said, there ain't no law against pet fish, right? Pet fish. These are my fishes, and they my pets. He said, are you serious? He goes, no, for real. He goes, every day I bring them down here to the water and I let them go and they swim. And then I whistle and then they jump back in the cooler and I take them home. He goes, really? He goes, I think you're lying. He goes, no, really? He goes, well, the game warden goes, well, then you're going to have to take me down to the water and we're going to have to see. He said, all right, then. They walk down to the water. Boudreaux tips over both coolers. The fish swim away. They're there for about 5 minutes. Game warden's looking around. Fish don't come back. He's there for about 2 minutes. He looks around. He goes, hey, man, when are you going to whistle? He goes, why? Boudreaux said, why? He goes, well, you were going to whistle, and then the fish are going to come back. He goes, what fish? Some of y'all get that later. Limits. Whenever I had a Chevelle, and I took automotive in school because you could skip half the day. So I took automotive class. In automotive class, I remember Dale Hoff, the teacher at Kokomo High School in automotive, he said he spent a whole day talking about the timing of a car, the timing and how the timing works. And he explained to us that if you advance the timing on your car, you could gain some horsepower. What do y'all think I did? That afternoon, baby. I'm out there. I got the distributor cap loosened up. I'm advancing it as fast as I can get it, man, so that I can get as much. Why? Because I don't like limits. You know what? I did find out, though, if you push the advance timing too far, it backfires and it's ugly. You can almost blow up your car doing that. But so don't do it. But my point is this. Pushing things to their limits, man. There's something in all of us that we recognize there are limits there, but there's also something in us that says, wouldn't you like to push the limits? Push the limits? Well, I'm here to tell you today that there was a limit on humanity before Jesus showed up. There was a limit. Death, hell, the grave, limit. There was a limit. Jesus came to show and to prove to us that God could take all the limits off. Anybody that can spend 3 days and three nights in the bottom of a grave and then come out of that thing alive and victorious, how many of you know there are no limits with our God? So this morning I want to talk to you about a couple aspects of the limitless nature of God. Because I believe with all my heart, God wants you to live a limitless life. But for you to live a limitless life, you've got to have a revelation or an understanding of some characteristics or some things about God. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to centrally focus in on the idea of the death, burial, and resurrection in light of that. All right? So let's go there. John chapter 1, verse 1. If you got your Bible, you can turn there or you can watch it up here on the screen. Look at this. It says, in the beginning was the what? Everybody go, word. Now, y'all didn't grow up like I did. I can tell. Everybody go, word. We're still way too white, but all right. All right, but we'll work with it. We'll work with it. Hey, Sean, can I get a word? See, that's what I'm talking about. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. All right? I had Ted do it in the last service. Hey, listen, everybody say word. All right, now listen. Whenever it comes to the Bible, all right, whenever you see the word, all right, it's actually referring to someone. All right? Whenever you see the word, it's usually in your Bible, it's capitalized, it's a proper noun, which means it's a name of a person. In this reference, the word here is always referring to Jesus. Always referring to Jesus. So in light of that, we're going to translate it in light of that, all right? So in the beginning was the... We'll try it one more time. In the beginning was the... Oh, y'all are getting better. In the beginning was the word or... Jesus, okay, or Jesus. In the beginning was the word, or Jesus. Watch this. And the word, Jesus was with God. And the word, Jesus was God. So, okay, listen. The word of God teaches that Jesus is the word of God, and he is God. He's not God's son only. Yes, he's God's son, but he is God. Look at the next verse. He was in the beginning. God. Okay, so watch this. Before Jesus came to the earth, he was in heaven. Guess what his name was? Word. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? Word. In the beginning was with God. All things were made, watch this, through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Absolutely, everything. Now watch this. Next verse. Verse 4 is what I want you to see. In him was life. Everybody stop right there and look at me. In him was life. Hey, listen, y'all. It doesn't say he received life. It doesn't say he was given life. It says in him was life. Let me translate and give you a difference. There was a time where your mama and daddy, they had happy time. Some of y'all need that 13-year-old talk. Y'all know what happy time is, right? All right. I'm not going there. It's Easter. And you were conceived. You were conceived. Watch this. And when you were conceived, you were given life. See, watch this. We were given life. Jesus is not like us. He wasn't given life. He is life. He is life. He is life. He is life. Through him, all things were made that were made. And watch this. Through him, Colossians tells us, all things consist because of him. Matter of fact, if Jesus would cease to exist, the universe would cease to exist. Because in him is life, and all things were made through him, and everything consists, he holds all things together through him. That's who he is. When Jesus died on the cross, understand, he was separated from God, but not dead. He was dead in the sense of his earthly body, but he was not dead. He was still alive, spiritually speaking. Y'all getting what I'm saying? Yeah, absolutely. But in him was life. Everybody say life. Life. We're talking about the limitless nature of God's life this morning. Look at this next verse, John 10:10. The thief does not come except to what? Steal, come on, kill, and what? Destroy. I have come that you might have, here it is, life. Do y'all get that? Now listen, Jesus is not saying, I have come that you might exist. There's a whole lot of existing. He says, I have come that you might have life, life. The very life of God on the inside of you, that you might live the life that God has on the inside of himself, that you might be a partaker of his life. Yeah. He's not talking about simply existing. A lot of people exist, but do you have life? Jesus said it this way, John 3:36, says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life and will not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. And it's not that God is angry, it's that there's a curse in the earth and you live under a curse. Yeah. So you got to have the life of God in you to overrule all that. Amen? That's what Easter is all about. Easter is all about the life of God in us. Not just in Jesus. We're talking about it in light of Jesus. I'll get there. I'm rushing ahead. Listen to this. He says, look at this next verse. He says, that you might have life abundantly. Verse 11. For I am the good shepherd. The shepherd, look at this. The good shepherd gives his life for the what? Sheep. Hey, listen to this. Check this out. Right now, there's a best-selling book going on right now called Killing Jesus. And I'm not here to pick a beef with the book. But and especially on TV right now, there are a lot of movies about killing Jesus. Who killed Jesus? You know, did the Sanhedrin? Did the Jews? Did the Pilate? Who killed Jesus? Can I assure you of this? The Bible doesn't teach us that anyone killed Jesus. No one killed Jesus. Listen, there's a difference between someone killing someone and someone laying down their life for someone. Jesus was not killed, y'all. Jesus laid his life down. There's a vast difference. You need to understand, if someone is killed, they could do it because they love their family or they hate their family. It makes no difference to the condition of their heart of why someone's killed. But when someone lays down his life, the condition of the heart is completely different. That's why our military is the greatest military in the world, because they lay down their life. It's very different. Listen, Jesus laid down his life. It's very different. It's an act, a volitional decision to sacrifice oneself for the others that you love. That's what Jesus did. Jesus was not killed 2,000 years ago. Jesus gave his life up 2,000 years ago. Vast difference in the way you should understand it. One is about his love for you and for I, so that we could understand and comprehend and grasp a hold of the fact that he loves us so much, he was willing to lay down his life for us. Let me show you a different way, a little bit different verse. 10:17, same little chapter there. He says this, therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Now, I don't know the neighborhood you grew up in, but let me just say this. I don't believe that Jesus walked around going like this. Well, y'all, I think I'm going to lay down my life and then I'm going to pick it up again and it's going to be all right and everything's going to be cool, you know, because I'm the Savior. I believe Jesus said it with a little bit of attitude, a little bit of, can I give you the Charlie Riley Amplified? Y'all that haven't ever been here, that's my version of it. All right, it's free. Here it is, though. You ready? Here it goes. Y'all watch this. See, in me, by the way, the Charlie Riley Amplified is a much larger version of, I guess I should say that. Just saying. But he's, watch this, y'all. I have the power to lay my life down. And when I lay it down, you can bet the devil's going to think he won. Death's going to think it won. Everything's going to think it won. Everybody's going to think I'm defeated. Everybody. But y'all know me. In me is life. That life, you can't kill it. You can't stop it. You can't defeat it. I'm here to take all that hell can concoct against me, and I'm going to whip it in a grave after 3 days and three nights, and then, yo, check this out. I'm coming back. And I'm going to kick a grave open, and I'm going to walk right up out of that grave 3 days later. Praise God. Yeah. I don't know why I wasn't born 2,000 years ago with Jesus and the disciples. Probably because my book would be so much bigger than everybody else's and get thrown out. Maybe because it's a little bit of opinion thrown in there too. But you get what I'm saying though. Do you understand that Jesus in him was life? And I don't believe whenever he talked to his disciples that he was like, you know, oh, I know it's a terrible thing. I don't know what we're going to do. I believe he walked around like, hey, y'all, watch this. I know they think they're winning. I know that the enemy thinks he's winning. I know that everything looks like we're going to fail. But I'm telling you, 3 days, three nights, I'm coming up out of that grave. I'm going to make sure I pay the penalty of every sin. I'm going to bury it. I'm going to take it all so that whenever I get up out of that grave, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I have the power to lay it down. I got the power to raise myself up. And when I raise myself up, I'm going to raise you up with me so you can live victorious. Yeah, that's what he's going to do. That's what it teaches. Listen to this. Check this out. The Bible says it this way, that there are three major things that you need to understand about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And here it is kind of in word form. 1 Corinthians 15 says this, verse 3. I delivered to you what was first given, which I received, that Christ had died for our sins. How many of y'all believe that this morning? Yes. He died for our sins. Look at this next part. And that he... as according to the scripture, and that he was also buried, and that he rose again on the what? Third day. Now check this out. According to the scripture, and then it goes on to say about how Cephas, who was Peter, seen him, and then over 500 people seen him, so it was a known fact in that day and that time that Jesus was resurrected. But the point I want you to see is that there are three aspects to understanding what Christ did for you and I. What Easter is really all about. There is three portions that specifically should set you free in your mind and in your heart. What are they? Death, there is the burial, and there is the resurrection. We should live in light of all three. The death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection. Say, well, then what do each of them mean? Here they are, kind of in a real simple form, but it'll make sense. Number one, he died. He died. How many of you know he died? He died. You know what he died for? He died so that you and I can be what? Forgiven. Everybody say, I am forgiven. I am forgiven. Do you know that? Do you know that you are forgiven? Do you know that all that Jesus took upon the cross was to forgive you? Forgive you. Do you know that all your sins were placed upon Jesus? Get this, whenever Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He called him Father. Then just a few minutes later, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why did he say that? Because all the sins of all the world were being placed upon him. All the sins of all the world. All the sins. And not just your sin. The sin of Adam. The sin of Eve. The sin of every human being. The sin nature was gathered and placed upon him. You say, when did it start? It started in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane when he initially began to take your sins and my sins. How do I know that? You remember he sat and knelt in the garden. He said, Father, if it be your will, take this from me. If not, I'll take it. Take this cup from me. And he took that. You say, Pastor Charlie, what was he suffering? In the Garden of Gethsemane, he was being tormented mentally for the sins of the world. Say, why is that powerful? It's so powerful because everything Jesus suffered for, he died so you could be free from it. If you're here this morning and you're being tormented in your mind, I'm here to tell you, Jesus suffered in his mind for your mind to be free. Absolutely. You've got to give up that mind and have the mind of Christ. How do I do it? You say it. God, I give up this mind. Lord, I'm depressed. I rebuke depression. Give me your mind. Lord, I give up anger. I give up bitterness. I give up all these things. And my set my mind free. Lord, I'm depressed all the time. Or I'm a depressed person. Or I have fear, ungodly fear. I'm fearful of everything. Listen, give that mind up. Let Christ do a work in your mind. That's what he died for. Say, not only that, his body. Do you know his body was beaten beyond recognition, the Bible says. Beyond recognition. Isaiah 53 says he was beaten so much that even you would not even understand that he was a human being. Mel Gibson did his best, but he only stopped where he became uncomfortable. Jesus was whipped with a cat of nine tails. Cat of nine tails is a handle, and nine leather straps that come off of it. And on the end of each one of those straps is either a nail, a piece of glass, or a ball. And every time he was whipped 39 times, it would pierce his flesh, and then they would pull it. They wouldn't just pluck it. They'd pull it, and it would rip flesh off of him every time, 39 times. Why 39? Your Bible records that there are 39 root diseases that mankind suffers from. Jesus took a stripe for every one of them. Why? So that by his stripes, you are healed. You are healed because of the death of Christ. Then we know that Jesus suffered and died on the cross, and he died on the cross physically. Do you know he went to hell for 3 days and three nights and was separated from God for 3 days and three nights? The first time ever in eternity he was separated from his Father. Why was he separated from his Father? So that you and I would never have to be separated from the Father. So now God has forgiven you. He's forgiven you what? Of your past sins, yes. Of your present conditions and sins, yes. Of your future sins. Y'all didn't know it, but you might miss it next week. Only three people laughed. Some of y'all know you might miss it next week. If I preach long enough, you'll miss it today. And it's the last service. I can preach all day. It's Easter all day. How many of you got cookout going on? I'm trying to find a place to go. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, but seriously, Jesus suffered and died. He died so that our sins could be forgiven, right? Not just that, check this out. Not only did he die, guess what? He was buried. He was buried. What's that mean? That means your past is buried. Everything in your past is buried. Charlie, I remember it. You may remember it. And you may be even living with the consequences of your past. But can I assure you of this? In the eyes of the Almighty God, he has buried that thing forever. It is forever buried. You are forever free. I don't know about you, but I've done some knucklehead things in my life. Most of them before I got saved, a few afterwards. Right? Starting a church. That was a joke. Y'all missed that one. Anyway. No, it's a blessing. But the truth of the matter is, we've all done some stuff in our past that we're probably not very proud of. But how many of you know God can take all those things that we've done in our past and work them for our good? If we allow him to get involved. Why? Because he buried our past. He buried. Everybody say he buried it. And here's the kicker of it all. The last one, he rose again. Why did he rise again? He rose again. Listen, how many of you believe that Jesus believed he could beat the grave? How many of you believe that God didn't even need to come to the earth to prove he could do it? So why did he do it? He came to show you and I the very power that he has over death, hell, and the grave. You look at it, I'm alive with a limitless life because of what he did. You know, get this, he died so that you would recognize the limits are completely off of humanity with him in your life. Let me break it down for you this way, and I'll say it this way. 2,000 years ago, something happened that shook the world up called the resurrection of Jesus, right? Yeah? If that is just an historical idea in your heart, you're missing the point. If you don't have a revelation that's just not about a man dying on a cross and resurrecting himself, although the story is great. It's about something far greater than that. It's about the idea that not only is the one who died and was raised again my God and my Savior, but that my God and my Savior now lives in me, and the same power that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in me, and I have the same resurrection power flowing through me as raised Jesus up from the dead. See, that should change your world, man. That should change your world. That should change the way you think about God. It should take the limits off of God in your life. See, because if you only look at the resurrection as, oh, it's a nice story. Jesus paid for my sins so I can get to heaven. But until I get to heaven, life sucks. How many of you know that isn't doing nobody any good? But when you recognize, hold on. The story of the resurrection is, of course, about Jesus dying and paying the price for our sin and all that. But the greater lesson that we should walk away with is the idea that, you know what? Now that Jesus died, when I put my faith in Christ, that same resurrection power now comes and lives in me. Well, Pastor Charlie, I don't believe you. Verse for you. Check this out. Romans 8, verse 11. Now, look at this. But if the Spirit who raised him from the dead, what? Dwells, come on, say it loud, dwells in you. Come on, say it again. Dwells in you. Touch your neighbor now. Dwells in you. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, God knew he could raise himself from the dead. We needed to know the power of God that is available to us when Christ lives in our hearts. So now, the Christ that raised himself from the dead dwells in us. Can I tell you, you have a life of no limits? I mean, come on, really? You're worried about depression? 3 days and three nights in a grave. Jesus got up out of the grave. That should prove the power. Depression? Got to go somewhere. Right? Worry? I'm scared of cats. What? You scaredy cat? You stop. The resurrection power of God lives on the inside of you. The devil should be scared of you. You're not scared of the devil. Right? Sickness should be scared of you. You're not scared of sickness. I'm scared of dying. You scared of dying? Can I tell you this? If you're in Christ, you ain't dying ever. You're never dying. Absolutely. Now, I'm going to wear this body out. Don't get me wrong. Yeah? I'm trying to do the best with what I got. But eventually, it's going to be laid down. Now, hear me. Hear me. But death is not the defeat of the believer. It's the door to the next level of life. It's a door. That's all it is. I'm going to lay this earthly vessel down, then I'm going to get a better one. Why? Because the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter until the coming of that day. Man, that's awesome. Why? Because the resurrection power of God lives in me. It lives in you. If you're a child of God here this morning, God lives on the inside of you. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead can do anything in you. Well, Pastor Charlie, I struggle with forgiving. The power of God on the inside of you can help you. Who is it? The power of the Holy Spirit working on the inside of your heart. Say, wow, Pastor Charlie, it's a pretty good message, but I'm still not getting it. Well, that's because I haven't given all of it to you. Check this out. It's one thing to understand the power of God, but it's another to understand why God would do this. Why would God do this? Why would God do this? Why would God do such a thing? Anybody know? Why do you want good things for your kids? Come on, talk to me. He loves us. Do you believe God loves you this morning? He loves you. He absolutely, emphatically, 100% is committed to his love for you. As a matter of fact, the Bible says this, no greater love than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friend. Yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died because he loved us. He wasn't killed. He laid down his life for us because he loved us. Say, Pastor Charlie, why is this so important to life? Here's the deal. You ready? It takes a revelation. It takes an understanding in your heart that the resurrection power of God lives on the inside of me. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. But not only that, watch this, but God loves me. God loves me with an unconditional, unrestrained, stupid kind of crazy love. He loves me that way. He loves you that way. He loves us all that way. Watch this. Because when you can get a hold of the idea that God's power is in me and God loves me and God is for me, can I tell you, you put the combination of that mixture together, that cocktail, you mix that baby, and you are a limitless believer right there. You are absolutely phenomenally unlimited in your ability to receive and have the things of God in your life. Unlimited, unlimited. Well, I got a bad past. Your past is buried. Well, I sinned and I messed up. Your sin has been dealt with. Jesus defeated all that. Well, I'm scared. No. The power of God dwells on the inside of you, and the love of God is absolutely saturating you. Absolutely. Look at this. I'll give you a verse for it so you understand exactly what I'm saying. Check this out. This is Ephesians 3, 17 through 20. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through what? Faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. Yeah, rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the breadth, the height, the depth. To which, look at verse, next verse, to know the love of Christ which passes what? Knowledge. Okay, everybody look at me, check this out. That means if it passes your knowledge, how are you going to get it? You're going to get it in your heart. You're going to get it in your heart, and you're going to get it by revelation of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Because can I assure you of this? Some of you guys' heads tells you God don't love you, but your heart should tell you something different. Some people are their own worst enemies. They don't need the devil. The devil goes on vacation with them. The devil, they don't need the devil. The devil leaves you alone. Why? You got you. And you beat you up. The devil just stands back and goes, yes and amen. Preach on. Keep beating yourself up. Right? Absolutely. But listen to this. It says, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him, that you may know the love of Christ which passes knowledge and may be filled with the fullness of God. Watch this. And now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Do y'all hear any limitless thinking in that? Check this out. That you may be able to that you may know him. Let me try again. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works where? In us. I got a little illustration, so hopefully this will make it a little better for us to understand. Hey, Toph, can you come on up here? And can I come up here? Hey, Nick, you want to come up here? Check this out. This is a tape measure. This represents your life, all right? I know, you're bright orange. I get it, all right? This represents your life, all right? Here's the deal. Check this out. When you ask Jesus Christ to become the Lord and Savior of your life, you become born again. You're a believer. Now watch this. This is your understanding of God. I'm going to take it from you guys. This is your understanding of God right here. Now watch this. God is limitless. This is 100 foot. God's limitless. It's a prop. God's limitless, right? But your understanding is here, okay? So here's what's happening. When you understand that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me through the new birth, bam, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. Then he wants to grow you in the love of God. And what he's doing is he's constantly revealing, number one, his power in your life and his love for you. So let's just say it's like this. This little towel here represents the love of God and the revelation of the Holy Spirit living in you. And now watch. As you grow in the Lord, Tov's going to grow. Watch this. This thing is going up. You're growing. Now God's limitless. Limitless. Nick is limitless. All right, now watch. Stop right there, bro. All right, check this out. Watch. But you stop growing. You stop learning about God. See, check this out. When you first get born again, there's only a little bit to understand. But as you grow in the Lord, you start growing. Your understanding gets bigger and bigger. And watch, you start believing more. Man, God lives on the inside of me. And you start believing, man, God loves me. And as long as you're growing in that, your potential is limitless. Watch, but whenever you stop growing, you're going backwards. Man, I don't know if God can do this. I don't. You know who you begin to look to? Self. You begin to look to you. Man, I wish I was a better person. I wish I didn't cuss. I wish I didn't smoke. I wish I didn't this. I just wish I was a this. I wish I was a that. Because your focus is backwards. As long as you keep your ideas on the idea that God loves me and his power is in me. God loves me, his power. Yeah, I messed up yesterday. The neighbor acted crazy. I gave him a yard job. Okay, I'm an idiot, I'm stupid. What was I thinking? I better get saved all over again this Sunday. Right? But no. It is possible for you to say, okay, I messed up. God loves me. His power is limitless in my life. That little attitude thing I had yesterday, driving crazy, I'm going to keep on growing. I'm going to keep on. Why? God's limitless in his love, and he's limitless in his power. But then you can turn and face it all the way back. Say, man, I'm a dirtbag. I'm a worm. I'm a this. I'm a that. And it's not about the love of Christ. It's not about the limitless nature of God. It's about you. If you will keep your focus on the love of God and the power of God, if God can raise Jesus from the dead, he can do anything in you. He's limitless. If God can raise Jesus from the dead, he can defeat depression. If God can raise Jesus from the dead, he can defeat that marriage issue. If God can raise Jesus from the dead, I'm telling you, he can do anything in your life, and your life is limitless this morning. Amen? Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks, guys, for sure. Y'all hear that? It's limitless, limitless, limitless. I thought this was so awesome. I thought this was so awesome. This little revelation that God gave me about God's power in your life and God's love for you. It's the cocktail that allows God to be everything he wants to be in your life. Y'all hearing what I'm saying this morning? Now check this out. I thought it was so awesome that I thought we ought to have t-shirts made. So we made t-shirts for everybody this morning. All right? Now, let me just say this. We ordered a bunch of t-shirts. But can I tell you, because folks don't fill out their Connect cards, we don't know how many of y'all are large, small, or medium, or extra large. So we ordered a ton of shirts. But if we run out of shirts this morning, give them your name at the table, and they will have a shirt for you next week. That means you got to come back next week. They'll have a shirt for you. But listen to what the shirt says. Listen to what it says. Number one on the front. Here's what it says. Abundant Life Church, obviously. But it says, experience the life. What are we talking about? Are we talking about just existing? We're talking about the very life of God on the inside of you. Amen? That God lives on the inside of you. And then on the back it says this. It says this. A limitless life because of his limitless love. What kept Jesus in the grave 3 days and three nights? His limitless love for you. His limitless love. The story of Easter in my world is all about two things. His limitless love so that I could have a limitless life. Because everything he went through, he did it all for us because he loved us. So that my life, when I got here, could be limitless as long as I put my faith and trust in him. Amen? Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I would love to tell you you can live a limitless life, but the truth is, sin holds us back from that. Sin holds us back. God doesn't want you sinning, not because he's a cosmic killjoy. The Bible says that sin is like gravel in the mouth. It's like honey to the tongue, but gravel in the mouth. Feels good for a moment, but after that, it's all bad. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Here's my point in saying that. The reason God wants you to have a revelation of the Holy Spirit living in you and his love for you, that combination allows you to live limitless, man. You can believe God through anything. If you will filter your walk with God through that, it's limitless. I'm sick. How does God feel about it? He loves me. He cares about me. Why would he want me sick? He wants to heal my body. God wants me blessed. How do I know? He loves me. He wants me to live limitless. Amen? If you're not saved, you're limited because you're under the curse on the earth. It's not because God hates you. Actually, God loves you and he sent his son to die for you. Yeah, absolutely. So here's what I want to do. We're going to pray for anybody that wants to be saved. And actually, everybody in here is going to pray together. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, man, I want to give you an opportunity to have the life of God on the inside of you. So you can have the Holy Spirit leading you, and you can have the love of God being shed abroad in your heart so you can live a limitless life, man. A limitless life. Limitless life. God forbid you wait all your life and then have a deathbed confession. Why would you do that? You lived a whole life and never really lived life. Why don't you give your heart to Christ? Live an awesome life. Live a life full of the presence and power of God. That's what I want to live. I want to live. So that when I'm done on the earth, I can go, yeah, I'm ready to get on out of here. See y'all later. I'm going to heaven, praise God. Y'all here with me? You got me? So if you would, bow your head, close your eyes. Let's pray.